You've tuned in to Naturopathy Earth Radio in occult health news, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathy Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. And welcome back to another episode of NP Radio and Occult Health News. I hope you're doing well today. Before we talk about some manipulative dating practices that are common amongst the millennials and the iGen, which is the generation after the millennials, the website is Naturopathic Earth, NaturoPathicEarth.com. Please check out the many articles and recipes that are there. I recently wrote an article about the 6 items that you must have in your pantry. So check out that article. I have numerous articles. And of course, the Confessions blog series is over there and the Insomniac Chronicles. And we have a PDF that Kate created on essential oils that you can download there for free. So go to the website. Also, I am a certified holistic health coach. If you are in the need of losing some weight, please contact me. As many of you know, I've lost over 100 pounds and kept it off for 27 years. And I have a holistic angle, as you know, given the name of the website. So if you need some help, let me know. And to fund the enterprise that Kate and I have, we have a Patreon account. So if you could follow the links or just go to patreon.com/naturopathicearth, you can donate anywhere from $1 to $2 to $5 a month to help to defray the costs. And another way to defray the cost is I publish my ebook, Confessions of an Obese Child, which is a 200-page book talking about some of the struggles I had as a child and how I overcame it, how I lost my weight. So go check that out on Amazon Kindle or Barnes and Noble Nook. All right, let's talk about dating in the 21st century and some of its perils. All right, the reason I wanted to do this topic is because, as you know, sometimes I like to do mental health ones. We have the episodes on narcissistic personality disorder. We also have the ones on alcoholism and addiction to Xanax and so forth. And I thought this one would be a fun one to do because I can relate to some of these new millennial dating experiences. And I think, honestly, some of them are kind of funny. I think the terms are kind of funny. And look, you guys know I'm in my 40s. When we were younger back in the 90s, for example, we didn't have the internet. Well, that really took off in the late 90s. But essentially, we only had email. We certainly didn't have social media and smartphones and the ability to block people on our phones. So dating nowadays, especially with Tinder and Bumble and all the hookup apps, is totally different than it was back in the day. And I would say back in the day, it was better because now, especially with the students like I have, and we talk about this in sex ed because we can talk about it in sex ed. Nowadays, it's you hook up, you have sex with somebody first or early on, second date, maybe third day, probably with alcohol. And then you get to know them afterwards while you're having sex. So that's fraught with peril. In the old days, you had to put in your time. You meet a girl, you date her maybe 3 months, 6 months, a year. And then once she passed the thresholds of not being crazy or you passed the thresholds of not being possessive and controlling, you men, then you guys would sleep together. But the good thing about that is that you guys vetted each other before sleeping with each other. Because as you know, when you sleep with somebody, you get stupid. You lose your wisdom. You lose your discernment. You no longer have reason. You have the dopamine being released, which is the pleasure neurotransmitter. And then you have the oxytocin. The oxytocin is the bonding hormone that we release after we have sex or after we're hugging somebody. And so in the Tinder age, and this isn't just for teenagers, millennials, this could be people in their 30s and 40s, because it's kind of pervaded now all the generations. Even we did that episode on STDs having the highest increase in the elderly. So now what you have is people who hook up early on and then they're clouded by their judgment. And so they don't see all the red flags, or maybe there's lack of compatibility, long-term compatibility, but they don't want to see it because they're so immersed in the pleasures of sex. So dating has changed. So we're going to go over about three or four terms that are pretty pervasive. So some of you millennial youngsters might have heard these terms and some of you maybe have not. And then, of course, some of you older people probably haven't heard them at all. So the first we're going to go over is ghosting. Ghosting we've talked about in the narcissistic episode, which is probably around episode 125 in that area. Ghosting, as the name would suggest, is you become a ghost and disappear. So it's to end a relationship with someone by suddenly and without any explanation. And it's kind of like discard in the NPD relationship cycle. So they're in your life and then all of a sudden, poof, they're gone. And with no explanation. And that's the key, is that there is no explanation at all. Now, this scenario with the MPD, it's probably a little longer than a few months. But just in regular dating, you could be, I'm just using the scenario of a man dating a girl because it's just easier to keep the pronouns all consistent. So let's say a guy is dating a girl for a month or two and everything's getting along. Let's just assume in all these scenarios have had sex because that is the kind of MO lingua franca nowadays of dating. And all of a sudden, boom, you text them one morning, hey, how you doing? Nothing. Now, sometimes if you have the iPhone, you know, if the iPhone iMessage is green, then you know that they've blocked you. That's not always the case. And if they have a Droid and you have an iPhone, then the green really won't mean anything to you. But it might take you some time to figure out they're blocking you. Or maybe they're not blocking you. Maybe you still see blue messages and they're just not responding. And then you send them a message through your social media because you're probably Facebook friends and nothing. And then you send them a message maybe through email, nothing. And then the lover, the one who hasn't gotten the ghosting message, starts panicking, right? They're like, what is going on? This is weird. Why aren't they responding? And then you start thinking, oh, maybe they lost their phone and maybe they don't have their my phone number because nobody really writes down phone numbers anymore. And so you start rationalizing, because we can rationalize every action that happens to us or every action that we do, insidious or benign. And so we start rationalizing, well, they lost their phone and they're really trying to contact me. Maybe I'll stop by the house. And you go over there and then you knock on the door and they don't answer it. So they've totally removed you out of your life. And what the perpetrator is doing is essentially saying, I don't want you in your life anymore. And the problem with ghosting is, I will say this, the people who implement these terms that we're going to use are inherently and extremely selfish people, because they're only thinking about their own feelings. They're not thinking about the feelings of the person who they're doing it to. So with ghosting, and look, I think a lot of people have ghosted early on in dating, right? So let's say you've gone on eHarmony or Bumble, whatever, and let's say you met somebody, or certainly on Tinder and on Bumble, you start messaging somebody you're matched up with, and then after six or seven messages, you just stop messaging completely, or they send a question or two and you don't respond. That is normal. I think everybody's done that. So that could be ghosting in its most, I guess, elementary or kind of inchoate form. What I'm talking about with ghosting here is that you've actually met the person and you've actually gone on dates and maybe you've slept together. So on one level, the perpetrator, it's the easy way to do things, right? It's easy because you just block them and you don't have to have that hard conversation. And look, nobody likes to have that difficult conversation. You're a nice person, but I'm not into you, or I found somebody else, or I reconnected with my ex. You know what? All the other stories. Oh, I'm not ready for a relationship. You know, and then you find out a week later they got back with somebody else. So, I mean, there's always excuses. But ghosting is inherently selfish because, look, if you've dated someone, and certainly if you've slept with somebody, exchanged bodily fluids and snuggled or whatever, you owe the person the decency of telling them that it's over, because it is emotional blackmail not to tell them. So don't be that person. Have that conversation. If you don't feel comfortable having it in person, fine. I mean, it's better to do it in person, preferably somewhere public, just in case you're dating someone who's going to make a scene. But at least send a text and then block them if you don't want to deal with their their blowback, but at least send a text or email and just say, hey, I'm not ready for a relationship, you know, whatever lie you're going to tell them. Because most of the time, people aren't honest and just say, hey, I'm not into you, or I don't find you attractive, or your laugh annoys me, or I'm a liberal and you're a conservative. So we make up some excuse. But at least give them something. Give them something. Just say, I'm not into you. I'm sorry. You know, I had a great time with you, but I'm not into you anymore. At least they know, and then they can process it. Oh, the relationship is over. When you ghost somebody, akin to the MPD episode, it throws that person in turmoil, especially if you've been dating for a long time. And then they start questioning, why? Why did this happen? What did I do wrong? You know, it's always about me, right? You can't fathom that it's the other person who might be shallow and selfish and egotistical and not have the courage to tell you. So you think, what did I do? What did I do wrong? And so you start like self-loathing and you start hurting yourself emotionally and maybe even physically. And it's tortuous and it's wrong, guys. So look, when you're going to end a relationship, suck it up, have the balls, ladies too, and just be honest and just, you know, give them one of the BS excuses or be honest. You know, I've had women tell me, hey, you know, I don't feel it, or I don't have a connection with you, or you have four children. I don't want to deal with you because you have four young children. And you know, of course it stings, sure, but at least I can respect them for being honest. And there's a certain decency, and there's a certain like level of credibility and respect you can have for somebody who just says it straight out, like I'm not into you, or whatever excuse you're going to tell them. So look, if you're going to end it, definitely don't ghost them. Send them a text or tell them in person. Preferably be honest and tell them the real reason, because there could be some self-growth that person can get by you telling them the truth, but be charitable and kind about it. Or at worst case scenario, make up some lie, and then you can block them afterwards, especially if you think that they're a little unhinged. Okay, the next term we're going to explore is cuffing. Now, cuffing sounds like some sort of S&M, 50 Shades of Grey kind of thing, right? Handcuffing to the bed or something like that. But cuffing is a phenomenon in which men and women are more likely to seek a relationship in the colder months than in the summer months. So typically, the cuffing season begins around November 1st and ends around Valentine's. And the thinking behind it is it's getting cold. We're doing less outdoor activities. We're indoors more, and we want to snuggle up with somebody, right? We want to spoon with somebody, share a hot cocoa and scented, albeit soy or beeswax candles. Go back to that episode on candles and spend some quality of time with somebody. So it's looking for a serious relationship in the cold months. And then once the holidays go away, because again, you know, holidays can be great if you don't have any traumatic holiday memories, like a family member died 2 days before Christmas, or if you have somebody. So if you don't have somebody during the holidays, it can be sad and depressing. So women and men will go out of their way to find a relationship during the winter months. And once the thaw starts coming, when breakup season comes, literally up north, when the rivers start melting and they start breaking up, when you can hear the ice crashing and so forth, that's when breakup season's happening for these cuffing relationships. And they start breaking up around February, March, because people, both men and women, want to be more single in the summer months. So cuffing in itself is not necessarily an insidious practice. I think it's kind of, we're biologically wired that when it's cold and we have to be caved in, so to speak, that we want to spend it with somebody more. So I can totally see why people do it. So yeah, I mean, if you are single right now and the winter months are coming, I don't think a lot of people go out of their way to necessarily like I got a good relationship right now to hold me through February. I don't think it's that conscious, but this can be connected to benching, which we'll talk about in a second, or even some catch and release tendencies. So that's what cuffing is. All right, the third term we're going to talk about is catch and release. I just mentioned that. Catch and release, I think there was actually a movie that came out a few years ago. Might have had Matthew McConaughey in it. All right, all right, all right. And catch and release is pretty easy to understand. And this is, I guess, some men would say the way they're evolutionarily wired. Catch and release essentially is a man, typically a man, pursuing a woman. And then once he conquers her or has sex with her, he releases her, he dumps her. It was the thrill of the chase, so to speak. And I think certainly men do this, and certainly women do this as well. I have some experience with this as well, not doing it, but having it done to me. But it's more common with men doing it to women. And again, you can kind of see the evolutionary sex psychology behind it. Men are wired to spread their seed. You know, we are mammals, and 100 years from now, all we're going to have left in this life is our progeny. And so I guess it kind of makes sense to sleep with as many people as possible. I mean, that's what they say. That's not to say that people, including men, can't be monogamous. Monogamy is a choice. That, you know, we are animals and we're wired to be animalistic in our tendencies, but we do, God bestowed us with intellect and volition. And so we do have the ability to choose monogamy. That's not to say monogamy is very common in the mammalian world, because we know it's not. So with catch and release, is it shallow and superficial? Sure. Yeah, right. And what I've never understood about catch and release is this. If I'm with a beautiful woman and she deigns to sleep with me, why would I dump her after that? That makes no sense to me at all. If I'm dating someone and they choose to sleep with me, I'm going to keep sleeping with them. I mean, why would I break up with them? Now, this is connected to our next term, which we're going to talk about. But it just, to me, catch and release doesn't make sense. To me, catch and release is done by either narcissistic or people who have some sort of cluster B personality disorder, or they're defined by their vanity and their sexuality. So maybe some sex addicts, sexaholics type, and they need to get their fill, their supply. And so once they get it from the woman and they know the woman is groveling, let's say, and then they just like, see you later, then it's no longer a challenge once they know that the woman wants them. I guess a good example of this would be the incredibly great movie Dangerous Liaisons. Came out in 1990 with Glenn Close and John Malkovich. And John Malkovich, and this is later spun as the 90s movie Cruel Intentions with Reese Witherspoon and Sarah Michelle Gellar and Ryan Phillippe. And I guess Ryan Phillippe's the Lothario there, the Casanova. And it's kind of well demonstrated there. Like, it's the thrill, and then once you get the thrill, you're just totally bored with this girl because she's all over you and you don't want to have anything to do with it, and you want to move on to the next challenge. All right, the fourth term we're going to cover is benching or bench warming, as the term can also be used. This has nothing to do with baseball or any sport where you got to sit on the bench. Benching is essentially could be classified, and this is going to be connected to breadcrumbing, which is the last term we're going to cover. But it's essentially being the plan B or the backup plan to somebody. And the term benching is you're sitting on the bench, or you the perpetrator has put this person on the bench just in case the relationship that you're with now isn't going to work out. Either you dump them or they dump you, and then you know you have this person on the hook, and then they're on the bench, so to speak, and then you can take them off the bench, and then you can start dating them. Now benching is very nuanced, and it takes on different forms depending on when you start dating and how long you've been dating, the duration. But typically with benching, they tend to flake out and they're not too committal, but they'll send you texts on occasion. Typically the texts are not that like in depth. It might be like, what up, or how are you? And they'll send it on occasion. And benching could best be seen as somebody wanting to go out with you, but it's always on their terms and on their time. It's never when you want to go out. So a classic example of you being benched is they'll never go out with you on the weekends. They'll never introduce you to your friends, or to their friends, or definitely their family. And they're going to want to, they'll text you like at, you know, 10:30 p.m. you know, on Tuesday. Well, what are you doing, girl? What are you doing? You know, they just want hookups. And essentially, they just don't want to give you the full, authentic, we're dating, gravitas and social proof. So they don't want to date you full on, but they still want you to think that you're into them. And so they string you along by, let's say, liking your pics on social media, or occasionally sending you a text or message, but they have no intention of ever actually following through or turning that low-key flirtation into a real relationship. So you're not really off the team, you're just on the bench. So a good example of benching is, let's go back to the ghosting. So somebody has ghosted you, and they come back and they haunt you, right? Haunting is another dating millennial term. So haunting is this person comes back out of the blue and they're like, what up? And then the person who was ghosted is like, what's going on? Oh, you're back. You know, you're outside. And they're like, what up? And of course, it's like, you know, midnight on a Wednesday. Hey, you want to meet up? I want to explain stuff to you. And of course, they just want to hook up or whatever and fulfill their supply. And so they break their silence, or they'll send you a text message. You know, sorry, I've been really busy. I haven't been able to talk to you. I still, you know, I miss you. And then the person who receives it are like, oh my God, see, I knew it. I knew they lost their phone. I knew they were busy. See, they stay right here. They love me. They want to be with me. They want to be in a relationship with me. Yeah, no, they don't. No, they don't. Now, I had a good example of benching that happened to me about 5 months ago, right? So I meet this woman. Of course, we're not going to use names. We'll call this woman Sally. And Sally and I started talking on Match, and she told me this. I've heard this a couple times on Match. Like, you know, because look, on average, two beautiful women on Match get tons of messages a day. They don't have to do any work. You know, I have friends who are on Match, and they always complain, oh, Gregory, I get 60 messages a day. I'm like, what are you complaining about? You just have to sift through the 80-year-olds and eliminate the 70-year-olds and the 20-year-olds and pick it. It's not as hard for the women. But so she sends me a message, and it's like, you know, I've been really busy, but I like to focus on one man at a time, and you're the man I want to focus on. And I remember I was in Canada, so when I was filming the Earthing podcast. And so we started texting, and for like the week or two I was over there. And, you know, we were talking about a lot of things. We were texting all the time. But I would notice that on some of those days she would just ghost, nothing for 3-4 days. And then she would just reappear, and then, you know, we would be talking, and I'd be excited because it seemed like an interesting woman. And so finally, when I came back to Texas, because she lived in the same town I live in, and then we were like, okay, let's meet up, you know, because we've built up this rapport. And every time we were going to meet, oh, I can't meet. Something came up. I have a business meeting. And then okay, I was like, okay, cool. Let's reschedule to whatever day. And then whatever day came an hour before, oh, I can't. My kid is sick. All right, okay. And so with this woman, we would sometimes still text, and we would talk on the phone. And talking on the phone was really weird with her because she was drunk half the time. And I was like, wow, is that what women have to do to talk to me on the phone, is be drunk? But so this went on for like 7 or 8 times where I would be like, look, and I'd call her. I'd go, look, if you really want to meet somebody, you're going to meet somebody. So you'd meet at lunch, you know, have a lunch date, just a quick lunch date somewhere. Or you'd, you know, after work, a quick, you know, stop at a coffee shop or something like that. But it was always either no response to that or, oh, I'm sorry, I was so busy. That is benching. That is benching. The classic sign of benching is flaking out on dates. So they keep you titillated by sending texts or even talking to you on the phone so you know what they look like, so that, you know, you're not being catfished. They're not some 13-year-old, you know, Indian from Bangalore. So you know they actually exist, but they don't want to meet with you. And so the person, the victim, is like, "What? This makes no sense. Why are you saying that you want to hang out and meet or even talk about the future and all these things, but you never want to meet? This sounds weird." And so eventually, I mean, you got to make the realization that they're just stringing you along. So either they're dating somebody, they're dating their ex, and in this case, the woman was still dating her ex or sleeping with her ex. She admitted to it later on when she was drunk. But, you know, you are the bench. And even in this case, this case would probably be more of a breadcrumbing scenario than a benching scenario, because we actually never met. We FaceTime and spoke on the phone and texted. But you are not on the first string. You are not the priority. And so, you know, you're only ready to play if the coach decides you to put on and put you on and or put you in. And the coach, in this case, is the perpetrator. And they might not ever be there. So what you have to do here is have just really good boundaries and just call them on it. It's like, look, and I did this with this woman eventually because I figured out what was going on. You know, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I'm not the sandpaper either. So I said, look, clearly you're not interested. So if you want to meet, you text me, you let me know when we'll meet, and I'll see if I can fit you in my schedule. And I called her on it. I said, you're benching me. And I don't tolerate it. So the key with benchers is or people who use benching is you got to call them on it, and you have to have some self-respect and some boundaries. And sometimes if the woman was into you and you call her on it, go, look, I deserve more than this. I deserve somebody who actually wants to meet with me. You're fucking with me. I hate, you know, this is not right. This is not appropriate. You're disgusting. Sometimes the woman will come back and realize it because you called them on their crap, and they actually respect the fact that you've have boundaries and you put up some self-respect, and they'll be like, you know what? Oh, you're really right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. And let's actually meet up, and you might meet up. But most of the time, people who bench are just, again, going back to all these categories. They're inherently selfish. And what they really want is they just want the, and we'll talk about this more with breadcrumbing, because breadcrumbing is used by benchers. What they really want is just to have the knowledge that you're there waiting for them or pining for them. And to them, that floats their ego enough to the point where they don't really need to see you because they know you're on the hook. So the remedy for this is call them on it and then tell them it's on their camp. And then even when they, even if the occasion comes where they do want to meet with you, of course, you know, bench them and flake out a couple times so they know what it's like, and then make the decision if you think that you guys are really well connected to maybe go out on a date. But just be aware that this person's already showing major red flags about commitment issues and even maybe some mental health issues. All right, so the final term we're going to describe and discuss is breadcrumbing. Breadcrumbing, as the term would suggest, is giving somebody enough attention to keep them on the leash, on the hook, but not enough where you're actually committing to them. So you're just dropping breadcrumbs to feed them, kind of like the parable with Jesus, where the person was a Samaritan and Jesus said, only those who are Jews can be saved. And then he said, well, even the dogs under the table get the scraps, get fed. And Jesus had sympathy in this for this person and then I guess healed them. I don't remember. I haven't watched Superbook in some time, so I don't remember. But it's something like that. So anyways, so with breadcrumbing. So breadcrumbing is used typically in conjunction with benching. And the key here is you are not the priority. You are the backup plan. You are the backup plan. And so classic breadcrumbing texts will be stuff like, typically in the middle of the night, they're drunk. And they'll send something like, I miss you. Right? And then, or they'll send a picture of you two from the past, assuming you've been dating. Or something like, I went out, but it was not the same without you. Or they'll send a text, you know, I ache for us, something like that. And there's different types of breadcrumbing depending on how long you dated. So sometimes with breadcrumbing, let's cover the more kind of rudimentary breadcrumbing. So let's say you've met somebody on Bumble and you've texted for some time and then you send out the message, you know, hey, do you want to go out sometime? And then you don't hear from them. And then they'll text you or they'll message you back on Bumble like, yeah, that's a great idea. And then you don't hear from them at all, right? They ghost you for a little while, and then maybe a month later, yeah, let's meet up. You're awesome, you know? And then you get all excited. Oh, yeah, especially if you think this person's attractive or has good qualities. And they're, okay, when do you want to meet up? And then they ghost you, and then they'll be like, God, you're so awesome. You know, they'll text you back later. So they're keeping you on the hook. But let's talk more about the breadcrumbing in a relationship or after a breakup. Because you commonly see breadcrumbing, men see breadcrumbing by women more than the other way around. But it's seen in both. So let's say you've dated somebody a year or something like that, and you guys have broken up, and regardless of who broke up with who, and let's say that person's in a relationship or you're in a relationship, really doesn't matter, but you start getting these messages from the person, right? I miss you. And so if you still have feelings for this person, you get excited, right? You're like, oh my God, they miss me. And so with the person, the victim extrapolates incorrectly that this person wants to get back with them, right? Because why would you send a text? Now, this is what the logical, not mentally ill person would think. Why would you send a text to someone saying, I miss you? unless you're willing to get back in the relationship. And see, that's what you don't understand about breadcrumbers, is that they're not wanting to get back in the relationship. Their job is to boost their ego. So as soon as you text them back, "Oh, I miss you too, you know, baby, we should get back together. When do you want to meet up to talk about it?" Then nothing. Then they'll ghost you and they won't respond to that text because they're not really interested in getting back with you guys. They just needed the ego boost to know, oh, look, they still have feelings for me. They're still on the hook. I'm going to stay with, you know, the first guy, the guy that you've replaced them with. So breadcrumbing can be seen on many forms. And another type of breadcrumbing is making plans to be with that person again, right? You make plans even though they're dating somebody else, and they'll typically downplay the relationship they're currently in. Oh yeah, this guy's all right, or you know, we don't have the same chemistry or the same sexual chemistry as you and I have. They're okay, yeah, they're emotionally unavailable or noncommittal, or you know, whatever. They'll downplay it, right, to make you feel better when you are talking to them, and then they'll be like, you know, if we do get back together, would you be more willing to like go dancing, or would you be more willing to, you know, fill in the blank? Or, and so they give you this idea through the breadcrumbs that they are going to break up with their boyfriend or girlfriend. And so it keeps the person on the hook. Now the other person could be dating somebody, but look, if you really are into somebody and you've dated them for a long time and you think that there's a chance that you can get back with them, you are going to slow down or even maybe break up with the relationships that you're currently in the anticipation of you getting back with this person. And so the breadcrumbing is cruel on multiple levels because it's affecting not only you, but it's affecting possibly the person you're dating. And so they'll make plans like, yeah, so you know, let's go out of town this Christmas or something like that, right? So it's all these lead-ons. They're leading you on, but they don't have any plans on dumping the person they're with. They have no intention of doing it. And that's what makes it insidious, because breadcrumbers, and I'm not saying all breadcrumbers are borderline personality crazy people. What I'm saying about breadcrumbers, some of them are, right? And some of them are sadistic. They are sadistic people, and they want to keep people on the hook for their own supply, right? We use the term supply when we covered the narcissistic personality disorder episode. But normal people could have supply, right? We all like the idea of somebody liking us or multiple people liking us. And we don't want to lose that supply of affection and attention. And so we sometimes, as human nature would suggest, stoke that fire and text those people like, hey, what up? You know, I miss you. But you know you have no intention of being with them because you either like the person who you're with better, or they give you, you know, some more social proof, or they're giving you something that the other people aren't giving you. But we all like to have our ego stoked. So what I'm saying is that not all people who breadcrumb are evil. What I'm saying is that breadcrumbers are inherently selfish people, because they're not, again, going back to the ghosting and to the benching, they're only thinking about themselves. They're only thinking about themselves. They're not stepping back and thinking, oh, this might be a little cruel that I am leading this person on and not letting them fully move on. Because even though I know I have no intention of being with them and I'm only stoking them for my ego and my supply, they don't know that. And so it's cruel and I should stop doing it. Okay, so it takes a lot of introspection and self-discipline for these perpetrators to do that, and most don't. So if you're getting breadcrumbed, and this is common, especially after you've broken up a relationship, and men, look, men do this to women all the time too. And lots of times with breadcrumbing, and this is one of the big mistakes you can make too, is don't sleep with this person. So if you've broken up, let's say it's been 2-3 months, and then the guy breadcrumbs you like, baby, I miss you. I ache for you. And then the girl gets all excited, oh, and he's like, let's meet up. And then you meet up, and of course, all your feelings flood back. You guys had a good rapport. You had incredible sexual chemistry. And then you sleep together. Lots of times, the woman or the man, whoever the perpetrator or whoever the victim is, I should say, has this idea that they're going to get back together. But the perpetrator has no intention of getting back together. They just wanted to sleep with you because maybe they just broke up with the guy they were dating, or maybe they just got in a fight with the guy that they're dating, or they just feel bad about themselves. Something bad happened. They need to feel better about themselves. So they go back to someone from their past and sleep with them to make themselves feel better. So the victim is like, oh, we slept together. See, I knew they still loved me and they want to be back together with them. And so you ask them, it's like, so we're getting back together? And the person, of course, is non-committal. You're like, yeah, I'll text you tomorrow about it, right? And then they ghost you or bench you. And so it's cruel. So it's all about the fulfilling the needs of the perpetrator. And so it's inherently selfish. So what can you do with breadcrumbers? Really depends on where you are in the relationship with them. Or clearly, if it's early on, just tell them. Just like, you are a manipulative, selfish, egotistical person who only cares about their own feelings and not the feelings of other people. Leave me the hell alone. And then you can block them. See, in that case, it's okay to block them. You can have a conversation with them. You don't have to block them. But you know the conversation's going to be like, oh, but baby, no, it's not true, baby. I'm not leading you on, baby. I do like you. And then if you're weak or you're ignorant to what they're doing, to their MO, you'll be like, oh, maybe they will change their mind, or maybe there's things I can do to convince them. No, there's nothing you can do to convince people to change. They're inherently the way they are. And so what you have to do is essentially just not be in their lives. Call them on it. And maybe, even though they'll deny it, maybe deep down one day they'll realize that what they're doing was inherently selfish and cruel, depending on how manipulative the breadcrumbing was. And then just don't have them in your life, or minimize them to the greatest amount that you can. Okay, let's wrap it up. All right, so the takeaways here, aside from knowing these terms, is if you are the perpetrator, stop being a D-I-C-K. That's right. I'm not expletive on iTunes. Don't be such a D-bag. Step up, be a man. Don't ghost. Tell people why you're breaking up with them, and then you can ghost them if you want. Don't play with people's emotions. Now, you might be confused and have ambivalent feelings about the person, and you don't know if you want to date them or date somebody else. Okay, well, then struggle with that on your own time, and don't suck that person in or suck that person back by toying with them to make you feel better. So don't be a D-bag. Don't be a selfish, egotistical D-bag. And I would say for the victims of these people, educate yourself on it. Know the MO that these people use when you're dating. And call them on it. You have to call them on it. And really what it comes down to is boundaries and self-respect. Boundaries and self-respect. And I think, you know, especially if you have the people pleaser mentality, or the Prince Charming syndrome, or you put the princess on the pedestal syndrome, and these are all actual terms. You glorify or you apotheosize the guy or the girl, and by putting them on a pedestal and thinking they can do no wrong. And so you don't want to come up and face the fact that they are manipulative and insensitive and selfish. And so you let them get away with it, a lot of stuff, because you lack the self-respect. And so you have to have more self-respect. Call them on their crap and then have them out of your life. If they ever tell you, oh, you know, I like sleeping with you and sleeping with somebody else, and you know that this person is with two people, you got to end it. Because look, their inaction of choosing between you and that other person is an action in itself. And that action is, they don't want you, but they don't want to lose you. They want to bench you and they want to breadcrumb you. Because if they really wanted you, you know, think of the rom-coms. If somebody really wants you, they'll move heaven and earth to be with you. They'll end the relationship with the other person, even if they're getting financial remuneration somehow, or they have new friends from that relationship, or they're benefiting somehow from it. They will move heaven and earth to be with you. And if they're not moving heaven and earth to be with you, wake up, smell the roses, and see that you are plan B. And ladies and gentlemen, no one deserves to be someone's plan B. But people will make you their plan B as long as you let them, and they will string you along. So step back, and it's better to have the self-respect to say, F you, I'm not your freaking backup plan. Get the hell out of my life. And then move on and find somebody else. Now, that person might haunt you and come back, or they might come back contrite and they might come back and say, you know, I realized that you were my plan B and I'm sorry. And I just needed time for growth and exploration. And I needed to see if the grass was greener on the other side. And you know what? It wasn't. I want us to be back together. You need to, that's very, very careful waters to tread, because if you still have feelings for that person, you might be entertaining that idea to go back with them. And first of all, you don't know if it's true. You don't know what happened with the end of that relationship. Perhaps the other person broke up with them. And so now you're just the rebound plan B that you always were. And now you're there to help them and cushion the blow. And then when they get back on their feet, or if the other person that dumped them comes back to them, they'll just dump you in a second to go back with that guy. So it's major trust issues then that you have to worry about if you ever get back with this person because you have feelings for them. That's not to say that you shouldn't reunite. I mean, there's a lot of cases of couples who broke up and then got back together several years later. So that is the case that can happen. Just start slow with them and work on the communication and the trust to express to them how you feel, and just be very careful. You know, it's just it's not that it's impossible, but in some ways they showed their true colors already by picking the other person over you. Now, if they dumped the other person because they learn the errors of their way, or they realize that you guys had a unique connection and they come back to you and they seem genuinely contrite, then perhaps take them back, but definitely don't sleep with them immediately. They have to be put on a trial run, so to speak, so they can re-earn your trust. And then maybe you guys can get back together. Some classic songs, by the way, that deal with breadcrumbing and benching would be something like Quizás, 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 or which is Perhaps, Perhaps, Perhaps by Doris Day. That's a classic song from the 50s. You have songs like You Keep Me Hanging On, which was redone in the 80s by Kim Wilde. I think the original was by the Supremes. You keep me hanging on. There's a great song, Charlie Puth, if you know him. He's new. There's a song called Attention that talks about how a woman is essentially breadcrumbing him. So there are songs that if you've been breadcrumbed and benched that you can relate to, you can listen to those songs. And now that you know these terms and their MO, this can weaponize you and put this in your arsenal. So when you're dating now, you can kind of see the ploys that people do when they're not really into you, but they still want to sleep with you, or they still want to get their supply from you. So now you are armed, right? That's the whole point of MP. And this is why I like doing these dating episodes and mental health ones, is because the reoccurring theme in MP is arming you with knowledge, whether it be about food dyes or toxins or the issues with prescription drugs or the way that doctors are misinformed, all these things. It's all about educating you and informing you so then you can make the right decision. And this is the same thing. Educating you on the duplicitous MO that these people use. And now you are weaponized and armed to tell them to get the F out of your life. All right, guys, as always, hit the subscribe button so these episodes come directly to you. And please post a review for MP Radio and Occult Health News, Confessions of an Obese Child, and Kate's Apothecary. It goes a great deal to help us. And please let other people know about the podcast. If you're getting anything out of this, which I think you are, please let other people know, hey, I found this cool podcast. It has a great breadth, a range of topics, and it's helpful. So let other people know. It means a lot to me. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Occult Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Occult Health News, and at our Facebook page at Naturopathy Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at MPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time. Music attributed to Nine Inch Nails.